You're listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
It's time for the Mitch Henderson Show. Let's go live to the Alchemist and Barrister on Witherspoon Street in Princeton. Here's your host, Derek Jones.
Hello and welcome to the Alchemist and Barrister here in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. It's time for another edition of the Mitch Henderson Show on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey. We'll be joined by the head coach of Princeton Tigers basketball, Mitch Henderson, in just a little bit. We have a couple of special guests coming up in just a moment as well, but a couple of reminders first. The Princeton Tigers in the Ivy League tournament, they will be taking on the Yale Bulldogs at 3 o'clock on Saturday in New Haven, Connecticut, as a part of Ivy Madness and the Ivy League tournament Saturday and Sunday, as it's been dubbed the ultimate back-to-back, as the Tigers try to grab their second Ivy League tournament title in 3 years, as they take on one of the co-champions of the regular season in the Yale Bulldogs. We will also talk about later on in just a bit the All-Ivy honors coming out today, a couple of Tigers in the mix for that, and we will cover a whole lot more as well here over the next hour right here on the Mitch Henderson Show. And right now we'd like to bring in our two special guests, Chris Mongilia, the Director of Basketball Operations at Princeton University, and also Will Gladson, Princeton Center. Gentlemen, welcome.
Hey, Derek. How are you?
Outstanding. Hey, it's March. More basketball needs to be played, so how can you be anything other than great? Gentlemen, as we take a look here at the Tigers coming up, let's take a quick glance back to last weekend. Certainly a lot of emotions going into that weekend as it relates to it being senior weekend and senior night for the Tigers. No Ryan Schwieger, though. For either game, give me your thoughts on how that weekend broke out in your opinion.
Yeah, obviously you never want to go 0-2 in a weekend, especially at home. I think we've had a lot of adversity all year with guys going in and out of the lineup, starting really at the beginning of the season in week one, where we had three of our guards out of the game, and we had to find ways to win. And we've talked about it on the show before. We've had different guys step up. We've had four Ivy League players of the week, so. The adversity was a little different for us this time. You know, we're playing two really good teams, two really fast teams, that presented some matchup problems for us. And we're looking forward to this week, and we're kind of putting this behind us and focusing on Yale on Saturday afternoon.
And, Will, certainly for you, you've obviously had a chance to experience the Ivy League tournament, and obviously a lot of emotions the first time around as the Tigers were able to grab the title. Take me through your aspect and your view of things right now from your perspective. Unfortunately, you're not out there on the floor. What's it been like for you watching this team get back into the Ivy League tournament?
Yeah, it's been a little different for me. I've had the opportunity to sit next to Monge on the bench for most of this season, get a different perspective. But I like where we're at right now as a team. I think when I came in as a freshman, we went into this Ivy League tournament, obviously with all of the pressure on us, playing Penn at Penn. And, you know, after sweeping the whole league, all the pressure was on us to win those two games. But right now I think we're kind of getting counted out by a couple people, and I think we can use that to our advantage. Over the weekend, 0-2, but we showed some really great spurts, and I think the key to this game, these next two games, is going to be putting 40 minutes together both nights.
Will, how about what you've gone through here this season? What can you tell us about your status and how things are progressing?
Yeah, so I had surgery about 6 weeks ago. Progressing well. I'm back to, day-to-day operation with my knee, and, meet with my doctors up in New York, and Reagan, our great athletic trainer here, and, just trying to get back on the floor as soon as I can, but also taking my time because obviously this isn't my first knee issue, so I know I got to take my time and really build that foundation so that hopefully I'll be good to go next season.
Now, one thing that you've seen this year is the progress of Richmond Ariri Guzzo, the All-Ivy honors coming out today. He was named second-team All-Ivy, which has to make, I would think, everybody in the program very happy. From a guy who did not play a lot in his freshman year now to being a member of the All-Ivy team, that has to be cool to see.
Yeah, I couldn't be more proud of him. Just seeing how far he's come. And then even today, I went and congratulated him. He was in the training room, an hour before practice, came out a half hour before practice, started his dribbling routine. I mean, the kid works and works and works and works. And it's great to see him getting the recognition that he deserves after the heck of a year that he gave. this year.
Chris, it's always been interesting to me to find out how these guys find out that they are named to the All-Ivy team. Were you there when Richmond first found out that he had received this honor?
That's interesting. I don't know if I was the first one to tell him or not. I know that Coach Henderson and myself get the email from the league. We got it last night, and I kept it a secret last night. I don't know if Coach Henderson told him or not, but we have our great manager, student manager, Michaela, who does our graphics for us, and she put together the graphics that are on our Instagram and Twitter accounts right now. And once it was public to, you know, the Twitter sphere or whatever you want to call it, I sent both of the graphics to Miles and Richmond for them for their own, you know, they want to put it out on their pages and whatnot. And I just said congratulations to them and, you know, said we're not done yet. So I don't know what his reaction was. I'm sure he was very grateful. But like Will said, the kid was back on the court today, half hour before practice, doing his dribbling routine, doing his layups, doing his free throws, everything that got him the second team All-Ivy, and that's just who he is. He's so humble, and he's so team-oriented. I'm sure he appreciates the recognition, but he probably has bigger goals in mind.
Absolutely, and certainly a part of that is how the Tigers will finish out things here in the Ivy League tournament on Saturday and Sunday. Will, you had a chance to experience that your first year with the team. You saw Miles Stevens. He was named first team All-Ivy as well. What's it been like watching him during your time as a Tiger?
He's been great. I mean, ever since, you know, the minute that I stepped on campus, he's a quiet leader. He comes in, he does his work, and he, you know, coach always says, rising tide lifts all boats, and that's what he is. I think this weekend we're going to need him to step up a little bit vocally because, you know, me and him are the only two people that played significant minutes in that Ivy League tournament, and so I think it's going to mean even more coming from him as a senior leader. You know, this is his last go-around. And he's going to have to drag, you know, all of our young players along with him and see if he can get as much as he can out of them.
Now, a lot of times in sports you hear people talk about experience and having experience in postseason and having experience in this and that. But in 2017, there was no template. No one could draw back from that and say and talk to an alum to say, hey, what was it like to go through this? What wisdom have you tried to provide to some of your teammates who did not go through this the first time around?
One big thing that I've, you know, tried to tell them is just to keep perspective. I remember vividly one thing I did walking out of a timeout, actually when we were playing Notre Dame in the tournament, was just looking around at the crowd and kind of taking it all in. And I think that really helped me kind of put what we were doing in perspective. You know, like we're out here playing a game as hard as we can, and that's all you can really do. So you got to be locked in the whole time. And it all comes down to these 40 minutes that we're about to play. So that's kind of the feeling I've been trying to instill in some of our younger guys.
Chris, we're going to get into your role specifically because you've got a lot on your plate here over the next couple of days, and that's been really the case over the course of the week. But one thing I wanted to ask you before we go to break, how soon do you have to start worrying about preparations for the Ivy League tournament? I would assume that can't be a thing necessarily that you just pick up and go with as soon as we get within a week of it. You have to make, I would think, some ulterior preparations for it.
I think, so our athletic department had a preliminary meeting when we were close to clinching. I didn't love it because I thought they were jinxing us a little bit. But then once we were officially in 2 weeks ago, we had another meeting where they got some information for me about, you know, what time would we do this and what would your meals look like here and when would you want to leave and all that stuff. But we didn't get an email from the league with, like, the manual and all the stuff, that the details and the times and all that stuff until Saturday night when all the four teams were clinched and the seeds were set. So I think Celine sent that out at, like, 1:30 in the morning. So
oh, wow.
I hope she's getting a little bit more sleep now. Probably not without all the preparations. But that stuff really happened Monday morning at 9 a.m. We had an internal meeting with all the, you know, the moving pieces from our athletic department, you know, marketing, ticketing, communications, all that stuff. So it happens really fast, and it feels very similar to 2 years ago when we went to the NCAA tournament. You know, you kind of find out you're in, and then all of a sudden it's like, bam, now get to work, like, get everything done and organize all this stuff.
And that has to be nerve-wracking from the perspective of you. Now, you knew where you were going to play, obviously, but you don't really know who you're going to play after your game on Saturday against Yale. That had to be a little frustrating because it's a waiting game, and then, of course, it's Harvard-Columbia, so it has to go to overtime.
Yeah, of course. In true fashion, how the league was this year, I think I saw a tweet from someone saying, like, there's no more fitting way for this Ivy League basketball season, regular season, to conclude than in an overtime game. And obviously Columbia and Harvard played a triple overtime up at Harvard, and they went to overtime again. And, you know, our game had ended, and a lot of people were sticking around after our game saying, like, oh, who are you rooting for in the Harvard and Columbia game? I was just like, just tell me when it's over and let me know who we're going to play. Like, I'm not in the business of rooting or cheering anybody on. Like, whoever we have in front of us on Saturday at 3 o'clock or 12:30, if that was the case, we were going to be excited for the challenge.
Everybody's good at this point.
Yes, yes, they are all good. And even the teams that are not in the tournament are good. So it didn't matter if it was Penn, Cornell, you know, Brown, all those teams that were alive on Saturday night. We just knew that there was a good team that could be, you know, they were going to be the 4 seed, or, you know, a good team was going to be able to beat the 1 seed, and you just never know what's going to happen.
We will come back with more in just a few moments from the Alchemist and Barrister in Princeton, New Jersey, right here on the Mitch Henderson Show. We'll hear more from Will Gladson and Chris Mongelia in just a moment. Stay tuned, more on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey in just a moment.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
The Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey, as we bring you an inside look at Princeton Tigers basketball. Derek Jones with you as we get you set for the upcoming weekend of Ivy League tournament action for the Princeton Tigers. Wherever life takes you, NJM will be there, protecting your car and home so you can enjoy the important moments. This isn't just insurance, it's NJM. Visit NJM.com. Today, as we are rejoined by Will Gladson and Chris Mongelia of Princeton basketball, let's go through here Yale for a second. When you take a look, Will, at what they've been able to do this season, certainly they have a lot of key contributors, including the Blake Reynolds, the standout senior for them, and of course the Ivy League Player of the Year, Mie Ioni. What makes them so tough?
They're really, really fast. I mean, you know, we've tried to key in on them in transition first and foremost. But they just have so many pieces that, you know, play their role really well, and any one of them can step up at any time and really hurt you. So we're going to have to be really focused on Saturday afternoon.
How about playing in that gym? That's not an easy place to play for a visitor, just because it's kind of configured oddly. Yeah. With the kind of the short backdrop behind the rim, and the fans kind of feel on top of you at times.
Yeah, and it's a little dark, and it can get really noisy in there. So I think it's going to be a fun environment for these guys. I think it's going to be a lot different than playing at the Palestra with all the bright lights and the big, more of a stadium feel. But, you know, I think it'll be fun. I think it's, like, you know, more true to the Ivy League tournament. It's just like a regular old back-to-back. You got to play at every gym, so... I'm excited to see what we can do.
And this, of course, is Yale's first opportunity to host the Ivy League tournament. Chris, you had a chance to go through it in 2017, the first one. Is it any easier or harder this time around dealing with it, knowing what it is after the first round in 2017?
I don't think it's any more difficult. I think year one, the league was really trying to figure out how to do the tournament. And I think whatever hiccups they had, which were very, very small in year one, they probably fixed them in year two. And now maybe the logistical side of it is a little different going to Yale, so maybe they're dealing with some different problems that they might not have had at Penn. But I think they have it pretty under control. The conference call we had the other day with the league was, you know, them telling us everything that we're going to go through, and it was pretty much the same and very clear. And at the end of it, they said, do you guys have any questions? And no one had a question. We just wanted to know if the basketballs were going to be there and if there was going to be officials. That's really all that we need. Anything that they're doing for us is a bonus and a good experience for our players, so we're excited about that.
One thing I wanted to ask you about was the recent news of the rotation around the league. Your thoughts on that, because next year it will be at Harvard. The year after that, 2021, it comes to Princeton.
Yeah, it's it was a surprise to me. I didn't know that that was happening. I didn't know that that was in the works. I was surprised that they announced it in the middle of the year. I think last year we found out it was at Yale kind of in May.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Something like that. So it hit me. One of our administrators saw me in the hallway and was like, oh, did you see the news? I'm like, no. What happened? He's like, oh, we're going to Harvard next year for the Ivy tournament. I don't know how I feel about it. I would love it. If someone was willing to listen, I'd love to do it at a neutral site if they could find one. I think that's probably a more of a tournament feel. But they've been doing a good job at Penn, and I know they're going to do a good job this year. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
As you take a look at the season here collectively, some of the younger guys and the freshmen will that have stood out. Ethan Wright has certainly seen a lot more playing time. Max Johns as well. How about some of the younger guys on the team that you've seen here over the last year?
Yeah, I've been really proud of those guys. I know that this was a tough weekend for us, but I thought the way that we finished the Yale game, we kept fighting. A lot of those young guys had really good plays coming down the stretch, even though we were down 20. Like, you know, fighting for their senior Miles and Noah and Elias that were, you know, out there battling with them. I thought that that was an extremely positive sign. And it's been great. You know, Jalen has been pretty much in the mix ever since he became healthy enough to play. But it's been great to see the way that Max has really come along and come into his own as a defender, as, you know, a spot-up shooter on occasion. Like, I'm pretty encouraged for the years to come.
How about Ethan Wright? He had 16 rebounds over the weekend, 6 on Saturday against Yale, and then he was 1 point away from a double-double against Brown.
Yeah, and those rebounds, you don't forget them. I mean, he goes and he snatches them above the rim, and that's huge. You know, Devin was doing that for us a little bit when we lost him. Ethan is picked right up, getting a lot of rebounds for guard, which is always a plus because then we can really get out in transition and try to hurt people with our speed. So,
yeah. Chris, you see the younger players certainly a lot in their progression through the program, and we've heard Coach Henderson kind of talk about the time where freshmen need to become sophomores and sophomores need to become juniors. How about those guys, the freshmen in particular, who have kind of slowly but surely come on here late in the year with the Tigers?
Yeah, not to piggyback on Will talking about Ethan, but I just think what you see as freshmen is that how much can they diagnose or how much can they digest? There's a lot of small details that go into being a good college basketball player, and it's almost like they can only handle so much information and they can only handle so much change. Ethan, all year I've been yelling at him in practice, like, get your hands up. Like, get your hands up on defense. And he just wasn't at that point yet to be able to digest that information. And now, you know, midway through the year or kind of where we are right now, his hands are up on defense and he's contesting passes. And, you know, it's a crazy thing to talk about, but contesting a pass is the difference between them catching it on the three-point line and them catching it two steps off the three-point line. And for us, that's huge. You know, that those little details, Ethan and Max and Jalen and even Drew are starting to learn those things, and that's huge for our development as a team.
Will, when you were a freshman, did you get the sense, and then into your sophomore year, did you get a sense when things were starting to change for you, when you felt like you were picking things up a little bit more?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, freshman was a whirlwind, freshman year, especially coming in when we really played the True Princeton offense my freshman year, and being a center in the True Princeton offense is not the easiest position to play. But towards the end of the year, you know, I felt more comfortable with it. And then sophomore year, I felt really comfortable with it. And, you know, yeah, like you come along, you learn kind of how coach is talking to you, what he means when he says certain things. And I can see that the freshmen are getting to that point where, you know, they're becoming more comfortable in their positions and they're starting to produce.
As you talked about Jalen Llewellyn, obviously a player like that has a lot of pressure on him to produce because he comes in highly touted, but he's been able to really give the Tigers a boost on the offensive side and defensive side.
Yeah, I try to tell him that, you know, even when the stat sheet doesn't say, you know, even when I tell him not to worry about the stat sheet, because he does things that make us go in ways that stats don't exactly pick up. I mean, the way that he delivers the ball, the way that he gets us going on offense, you know, a lot of times he's guarding the best guard on the other team. I mean, we know Miles is a lockdown defender and he's going to guard, you know, the best player, but a lot of times the second best falls right on Jalen's shoulders, and he's done a great job carrying that load for us this year.
As you take a look at this coming weekend and the concept of senior leadership and how important that is, certainly Miles Stevens has been a key cog for the Tigers, but experience overall, how much of a factor do you think it will play in for Saturday, because of the fact that, you know, the Tigers have been used to playing in tough, competitive games, close games? Not that Yale hasn't, obviously, but a lot of Yale's games have been of blowout proportion or as close as you can get in Ivy League play. How important is it to make them uncomfortable as the game wears on?
I think it's going to be very important. I think, you know, if we can go out there and everyone can play together and as hard as they possibly can, I think we have as good a shot as anybody. You know, senior leadership, you mentioned that. I know Miles is going to get the best out of all of us, and I'm going to do my part to try to, you know, help as much as I can with that too. But I think that we've played enough good games. I think back to the Iona game, you know, especially when Drew came in and hit those big threes, like it's a next man up mentality and people have to be ready to come in and make big contributions.
Certainly the Tigers will be ready on Saturday when they take on the Yale Bulldogs. That game with a start time of 3 p.m. As we take a look here at the Ivy League tournament as a whole, is there something this year that has made this league a little bit maybe better or competitive, do you think, than maybe in previous years?
I think the word experience, you keep talking about it, and I think last year there weren't too many seniors that were in a prominent role across the board in the league that graduated. So everyone that's kind of, you know, on the first team All-Ivy and second team All-Ivy this year, they were contributors last year and they came back for another year, and that really made things close. And the familiarity of everyone in the league, if you're a senior or a junior, you've played all these guys 2, 3, 4, 5 times, and just to know them so well, that just allows you to you know, make these games so close and lock up what they're doing defensively a little bit. And I think I touched on this last time I was talking to you, Derek, but, like, we watch them all year. Like, in the non-conference, yes, we are scouting Arizona State and we're scouting Duke and we're scouting Iona, but, like, we're tuning in to watch everyone in the league, and they're all doing the same thing. So the league is so close, and maybe, you know, we only have 8 teams in the league. We're not the ACC where they have, like, 25 teams in their conference. We're focusing on 7 teams, and that probably helps us out a little bit too.
We'll let you get out of this segment on this one. If there is a world where there are 8 teams in the Ivy League tournament, do you think that would be a good idea? Do you think should we go to all 8 or stick to just 4?
I have a strong hot take on this one, Will, so I'm going to go first, and then you can take it second. I would not want to go to 8 teams.
Really?
I love 4 teams because no matter what, there's, you know, there's still something in it for everyone, usually until the last weekend. I think 2 years ago we had almost everyone alive. It was great. I feel like if you go to 8 teams – teams that, you know, maybe don't deserve to be in a playoff are in the game. And as you could see, you know, Dartmouth finished last in our league, right?
Yeah.
They beat Harvard, who is technically the 1 seed in the tournament. And everyone goes, well, that's March. That's Cinderella. That's what you want to happen. But you want to have your best team having a chance, or the best chance, to get into the NCAA tournament and get a victory or get to the Sweet 16. I just think 4 teams is the sweet spot. And I'd like to keep it that way.
Oh, that's it. That's a very good point, because when you look at the first 2 years, the team that has won has at least in some way, shape, or form been the league champion during the regular season.
For sure.
So that'll be an interesting thing to keep our eye on. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have more here from the Alchemist and Barrister in downtown Princeton. This is the Mitch Henderson Show on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey. Stay tuned.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Mitch Henderson Show every Tuesday night. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton Tigers basketball team. Stop in the A&B all day, Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, with a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game and enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos, as we are joined once again by Will Gladson and Chris Mongelia of Princeton basketball, as we get you set for Tigers and Bulldogs coming up on Saturday. A quick look here while we have a moment at the Ivy League all first team, or the all Ivy first team, I should say. Mia Ione named the player of the year for the Ivy League. Meanwhile, AJ Broder, Bryce Aiken, Matt Morgan, all unanimous selections to the All-Ivy first team. Miles Stevens and Alex Copeland also being named to the first team as well. The second team, Tominang Cho of Brown, Obi Okoli, who was named Defensive Player of the Year for Brown, Gabe Stefanini of Columbia, Chris Knight of Dartmouth, Devin Goodman of Penn, and, of course, as we mentioned earlier, Richmond Ariri Guzzo of Princeton, and now the honorable mention spot going to Patrick Tepe of Columbia. A lot of outstanding players on that list. Who are some of the guys who stand out to you on that list?
Will?
I mean, Bryce had an amazing year. Some people thought, you know, he should be in talks for Player of the Year. I think they would be valid. Our guys, Miles and Richmond, are really the only two that I care about. But, yeah, all those guys had amazing years, especially down to, you know, A.J. and Devin Goodman at Penn for willing that team to the Ivy League tournament. I think it was big time.
I think Matt Morgan stands out for me. I mean, we are very happy to see him graduate.
I think a lot of people are.
The Coach McConnell has the Cornell scout, and I'm sure he's very happy to see Matt Morgan graduating, and he's well deserving of that. One of the best scorers the league's ever seen.
Unbelievable. Second leading scorer in Ivy League history, and oddly enough, he had that unbelievable streak of over 80 games in a row of scoring double figures, and of all nights, his last night as a member of the Cornell Big Red, at least in the regular season, it does not end up ending in double figures for him. That's when the streak ends on senior night.
Wow, I was unaware of that.
I did not know that.
What fascinates me even more, Derek, is that you have no notes in front of you. You just remember that.
It's all up here, my
impressive.
Friend.
Impressive.
But he's been an incredible player, certainly, and obviously he's given the Tigers fits over the last few years.
For sure. But we have Miles Stevens, so
yes,
that helps.
And when you look at Miles Stevens, the 2017 Defensive Player of the Year, he has battled through injury this year to really try to guide this team. He missed the Arizona State game, which was one of the big, obviously, standout performances for the Tigers this season. How about his ability to kind of battle through adversity during the course of the year?
Yeah, I mean, he has been a little bit of pain all year. And with me, I'm a training room vet, and to see Miles in there, as much as he was, it concerned me, but it also made me happy because he's showing all the young guys, you know, how much he cares, and he really did battle all year, and so it's great to see him get the recognition he deserves on that first team slot.
So Miles Stevens receiving all first team honors for the Ivy League, and Richmond Ariri Guzzo second team all Ivy honors. As we take a look here at the Ivy League tournament, certainly the other game, Harvard and Penn playing a little bit earlier in the day. As far as that game goes, are you shocked to see Penn kind of rally after that 0-2 start to get back into the Ivy League mix?
I'm not shocked. I think we knew how good Penn was all year. Some of the losses they had in the league, I think, were, you know, a little surprising because we knew how good of a team they were. But it feels very reminiscent to me of 2 years ago when we played them as a 4 seed. That, like, everyone kind of counted them out. Everyone thought they were dead in the water. And, you know, they snuck in there as the 4, and they were playing arguably the best basketball at that time in the league. And it feels very similar right now that they've had some good wins to get where they are. And, you know, the 4 seed doesn't mean anything in this tournament.
No, at that point it's just a number and what color jersey you're wearing that point.
The only thing different is it's not in their home court.
Yes.
So Harvard's got that going for them.
Well, it's odd because Princeton had to play Penn in their building to open up the Ivy League tournament. Now you go to Yale, you have to play them in their building. Is there an aspect of this where this kind of, in a way, could be a negative for Penn, for Yale, I should say, because, you know, there's that extra added sense of pressure, perhaps, if they don't get out to a positive start?
I'm not sure. I don't think they're feeling any pressure right now. To tell you the truth, I mean, you know, they did get the 1 seed and they are playing at home. But as we've seen throughout the year, that's a confident bunch, and I think we're going to play hard and we're going to make it as good a game and we're going to try to beat them as best as we can. But I think playing in your own building, I don't think that's really any added pressure for them.
Certainly they will, of course, as we mentioned a little while ago, this is it for Yale. They will not have the Ivy League tournament in their building next year. It will be at Harvard. So we will see if the Tigers can overcome the Yale Bulldogs on Saturday. A 3 p.m. start time for Princeton as they try to overcome the Bulldogs and grab a win. What makes that place tough to play in? And we kind of hit on it a little while ago, but what makes that gym tough to win in? Because it has not been an easy gym to win in for a lot of Ivy League teams.
It's tough because you're not courtside. They put you up top, Derek.
Yeah.
I like looking across the court and seeing you or having you sit next to me and get to hear you call the game.
Throws me off my game a little bit
does,
when I'm kind of with everyone else.
And you're an important part to our team, so that throws us off a little bit too. We're going to call, you know, Matt Panto at the Ivy League office and try to get you courtside for this game. We'll see what we can do.
If you could, that'd
but
be great.
Ask Will how it is to play in Yale. I don't know. I don't make shots.
It's a little different. You know, we said a little bit earlier, it's a little dingy in there. It's I'm not sure if we're playing with Nike balls or
Nike. Yeah,
Nike.
Nike.
Okay, confirmed. So that's big for us because that won't be a change. But usually going up there, and most of the league has Nike balls, and you have to play with the different balls up at Yale. I think it's the Rock or Under Armour or one of those.
Well, so I'm going to ask a real stupid question. What is the big difference between – I know there is a difference, but what is the difference?
So the Rocker
– they play it with the Spalding. They play with the TF1000. Yeah.
Well, I didn't get to go play at Yale this year, so I'm not too sure about that. But the Spalding balls are a little bit – like they're more – realistic leather. The Nike balls are a little bit better, in my opinion, because we play with them and we're used to playing with them. So any little advantage, added advantage like that is just doing, you know, its part to tip the scales in one way or another. But you know, when it comes down to it, it's two teams playing for a berth to the what Coach Henderson said today, the best thing on earth, March Madness. And I think I'm right there with him on that. So I'm not sure any of that. The extra stuff is going to matter much.
It's a fantastic experience, and hopefully the Tigers can grab a couple of victories and get back to March Madness. Before we go to break here, I wanted to ask you, Will, about Jason Tatum. We saw Kyrie Irving at Harvard. Have you tried to get Jason Tatum out to a Princeton game at some point?
Yeah, so it's actually pretty unfortunate. Because of the surgery I had, not being able to travel with the team, Jason couldn't come to that game at Harvard. I thought it'd been pretty funny because he asked me for a sweatshirt a while back, so I thought it'd been funny to have Kyrie sitting there rooting for Bryce and Jason in my Princeton basketball hoodie. But yeah, I'm doing my part. He's focused on a lot of other stuff up there. You know, this is his job now, so which has been really neat and really cool. But yeah, I've been trying hard, and this year looked like it would have been the year to do it. But hopefully next year.
More time to come for sure. We're going to take another quick break and have more. This is the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey. When we come back, we'll be joined by the head coach of the Princeton Tigers, Mitch Henderson. Stay tuned. We're headed your way right after this.
And now more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Back here at the Alchemist and Barrister in Princeton, New Jersey for the Mitch Henderson Show as we bring you a look at Princeton Tigers basketball. And we are joined right now by the head coach of the Princeton Tigers, Mitch Henderson. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well, Derek. How are you?
Outstanding. And it's March. It's time for some really big-time basketball coming up this weekend as the Tigers get set for the Ivy League tournament. And certainly as you take a look back at last weekend, Uyghur for the Tigers and when you take a look at a couple of games here offensively, it seemed like the Tigers kind of struggled a little bit because of that.
Well, we definitely did. We missed Ryan a lot. And, you know, we're adjusting again to a different team. And, you know, as anybody knows who's played basketball, like, you know, each guy on the team plays a significant role. Sometimes it's more significant than others. But, you know, what it did is it made us a little bit younger even, right? So we're playing, you know, more freshmen, more minutes. And Ryan was playing so well, and he was balancing us in a really cool way. Also, both ends of the floor, both offensively and defensively. And he's such a difficult matchup for teams because who are you going to put Miles on? Or who are you going to put on Miles? You know, because Ryan's almost 6'8", 6'7". So there's no excuses, right, Derek?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you
know, we're really thrilled about playing basketball here late in the March, and we've made the tournament. Happy about that. But we really miss Ryan, and you know, but a valuable experience for the rest of the guys. And you'd love to be able to play with this group for a whole season, not just trying to figure things out here in a couple of weeks.
You think there's a chance you get him back at some point?
We're keeping our fingers crossed, right? Like, we're you know, been doing our dance, you know, and making sure Ryan, I always whisper. I'm whispering whenever I'm around him. We're hopeful.
When you take a look back at last Friday, certainly 25 turnovers, not something you like to see as a head coach. Is it just one of those things where it was just the perfect storm of different things, unforced errors, Brown's defense that kind of factored into that?
Well, 25 turnovers is just extreme carelessness. We had 16 in the first half. And, you know, turn around the next night, we have 9. I mean, we've had games where we've had 4. We've had 5 turnover games in the league, and we've had, you know, single-digit turnover games and really big games in the league. But this team, you know, was one of the first teams I've had where we've struggled to take care of the ball. And, you know, credit goes to Brown. But when we made, you know, it's a 4-point game and you have 25 turnovers, and, you know, you can't win. You can't be successful with that. That was crushing.
And when you take a look at certainly some of the positives out of the weekend for the Tigers, obviously, you know, Richmond Ariri Guzzo being named to the All-Ivy team, second team, and his weekend, he had 20 points along with 11 rebounds on Friday, and then followed that up 6 of 7 shooting from the field, 15 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists. It had to be great to be able to find out that he had made the All-Ivy team.
Yeah, well, I'm so thrilled for Richmond. You know, he was happy today, and I think you can make a case that Richmond could be first team All-Ivy, you know, with his performance in certain games in the season and the fact that our team's changed quite a bit, but he's been a stalwart, and, you know, his improvement is just, you know, if anybody that's been watching us knows, for us, he hasn't come out of nowhere, but I think for everybody else, he has, and I think he's the best center in the league.
He has been outstanding for the Tigers this season, and certainly one of the keys when you start to take a look at this coming weekend for the Tigers as you make it back to the Ivy League tournament. We were talking earlier with Will and Chris about kind of some of the differences from 2 years ago to now. How does it feel versus the team 2 years ago? Certainly is a far different club, but the experience was a new one for everybody. This time around, you've gone through it. Does it feel a little different getting there that second time?
Yeah, well, that group was 28-2 in the league, you know, or 20, what was it? Yeah, 28-2. Heading into the Ivy League tournament, ends up, you know, you end up going 30-2 in 2 years. So that group had won a lot of games, and they had won some games they shouldn't have, including the semifinal game against Penn. But the difference is that, you know, between then and now is, you know, we were going into the first Ivy League tournament, and the narrative was, why do we have to play Penn at Penn? You know,
right?
You know, you don't want that to be the narrative, but that was the narrative for that group. And this narrative's totally different. It's now year 3 of the tournament. We feel like, for us, it's, man, we get to keep playing, and we've earned that opportunity. And, you know, there should be no pressure for us. We've got to go up there and just play. And all you got to do is win 2 games. I know everybody's saying the same thing, but same thing is only true for 4 teams in the league, and we're one of them. And we have some really fun pieces that are hard to deal with. And, you know, as, you know, Columbia, right? Like, Columbia has shown, like, if you can play together and you can stay with your stuff,
yep,
and you can take care of the ball, anything can happen in the league.
And they've been really impressive, and it's, you know, it's unfortunate for them that there isn't, you know, a 5th or a 6th or a 7th or an 8th team spot. They just couldn't get the tiebreakers to kind of line up for them in the long run and get maybe the ball to bounce a little bit differently. One thing that is kind of unique about this particular game on Saturday, you start off the Ivy League season by playing Penn in consecutive weeks on consecutive Saturdays. Now you pretty much do the same thing here against Yale. Is there any advantage or disadvantage having just played Yale in your last game and now having to play them again on Saturday?
You know, it's like seeing – yeah, I love it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I told you, I mean, I sort of love it and hate it at the same time, but I love the scheming and the game planning and, you know, what might come next, and I'm sure they're doing the same thing. They're a tough matchup. We feel like we guarded them well at times, but obviously not well enough to be successful. But, you know, it's a huge challenge. They've got really good seniors and juniors that have played. This is basically the same team that we played against to win the Ivy League tournament and go to the tournament.
That's a great point,
2 years ago. You know, it's Bruner, Copeland, Oney, Phils, Reynolds. And this is the same group. plus Atkinson and Swain, two really good players off the bench. So, you know, they're where we were a couple years ago, and they're playing like it.
When you look back at the game on Saturday, it just kind of seemed to be one of those games that was tight early on, and then they just got on that type of roll that we've seen them throughout the course of the season, and they were just able to build momentum.
Yeah, there was a stretch in the second half where they just put it to us. Blake Reynolds made a three in transition, and they had responded well after losing a couple of games in the league. So, you know, that it's a tough team. They're really tough to beat, and you've got to be absolutely at your sharpest.
And no question, the Tigers will get set for Yale coming up on Saturday. That game with a 3 p.m. start time. We'll take a quick break and then start to close out the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey. We'll have more in just a moment from Princeton, New Jersey. Stay tuned.
A lot of people talk about new and improved, but we really mean it. We're the Orthopedic Center at RWJ Hamilton. We have fellowship-trained orthopedic and spine specialists for joint, back, and neck pain, as well as Mako robotic arm-assisted surgery. So you'll not only be improved, you'll be a whole new person. Visit rwjbh.org/ortho. RWJ Hamilton and RWJ Barnabas Health Facility. Let's be healthy together.
Allergy sufferers, my name's Nigel. As a wise and educated owl, I know the difference between what's wise and unwise. Suffering needlessly with allergy symptoms, unwise. Getting a free 10-day sample of Zizol, quite wise. Zizol is the allergy medicine that's just as effective at hour 24 as at hour 1, which makes getting a free 10-day sample one of the wisest things you can do. So don't be unwise. Be wise all and visit Zizol.com for your free sample today. Use as directed.
Springtime is almost here, and there's no better time to tackle that next job. At AutoZone, we have the free services to help you get it done. With our free AutoZone Loan-A-Tool program, you can borrow specialty tools you need for the job, free of charge, so you don't waste money on rarely used tools. Getting the job done just got easier. And right now, get 5 quarts of Mobil 1 Full Synthetic or Synthetic High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for $29.99. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Deposit required. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
On the road of life, you need to keep looking ahead because you never know what might be waiting around the bend. No matter where you go or where you find yourself, it's important to have the confidence to handle whatever may happen next. That's why for over a century, NJM Insurance has been here, protecting your home, protecting your car, protecting where your life happens so you can focus on the moments that matter most. This isn't just insurance, it's NJM.
For the past 100 years, generations of men have trusted Barbasol Shaving Cream to deliver a close, comfortable shave. Barbasol continues this legacy with the Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus Razor. With 6 ultra-thin, open-flow blades and a crafted metal handle, Barbasol is proud to offer a razor that lives up to the exceptional quality and honest value that you've come to expect. Get yours today, in stores or online at Barbasol.com.
Barbasol.
And now more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Final segment of the Mitch Henderson Show right here at The Alchemist and Barrister. I was proud to host the Mitch Henderson Show every Tuesday night. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton Tigers basketball team. Stop in the A&B all day Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday with a ticket stump from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game and enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos. For over 100 years, NJM has been here protecting your car, your home, and where life happens. This isn't just insurance, it's NJM. Visit NJM.com for a quote today as we are rejoined by the head coach of Princeton Tigers basketball, Mitch Henderson. Coach, while we have a moment here, I wanted to get your thoughts on the All-Ivy team honors. Certainly, it's pretty cool to see Miles Stevens get that first-team recognition. We talked about Richmond Ariri Guzzo as well. Anything else stand out to you from that list? Certainly, Noah Kirkwood of Harvard, Rookie of the Year. You had a chance to see him. A lot of talent in the league overall.
A lot of good play, too, right? Like, so, you know, Kirkwood, he had a couple huge shots in the league, Mione, I thought it was, we're not allowed to vote for our own players, but, I thought Oni or Aiken, those guys were both terrific. Aiken, of course, had, like, a really special year making so many difficult shots in the biggest of moments. He hurt us both times, twice. I was sort of pulling hard for, you know, Miles to get Defensive Player of the Year. But Oakley had himself a really nice year, too. And, you know, I was saying to the staff, you know, I thought he played, you know, and I said this last week, too, like he just played like a senior, right? Like,
yep.
Not a lot of fluff around him, right? He just looked really solid. I thought he was terrific. So, Alexei and two guys in the league, but you know our goals have always been at Princeton, you know, team championships, and then through that you want individual recognition. So, we're pleased that we're in the tournament, you know, with this group that we've got, and I'm happy for Richmond and Miles.
What are a couple of keys for you to advance on Saturday and get to Sunday?
We can't, you know, the rebounding's got to be even. We can't turn the ball over. Can't turn the ball over, right? That's just a massive key in the game. We've got to make some shots, Derek. You know, it's time to make some shots. Like, we got to get unhinged on offense. And then I think, like, play like a team, you know, have some fun. Like, it's time. It's March. Like, it's still light out. It's almost 7. This is March. Like, days are getting a little bit longer. Man, I hope my team, and I've told them this today, like, what an unbelievable opportunity we have to keep playing.
When you hear sometimes people talk about enjoying the journey, and certainly this is a key to that perhaps, because this is a great situation for the Tigers. They have a chance to perhaps go back to the NCAA tournament with a couple of wins, and you talked about the concept of having fun. This is going to be a tremendous environment. The first 2 years have been incredible to watch, certainly in person and on TV, and it should be a great time this coming weekend as well.
Like, this is what it's, you know, this is what it's all about, right? Like, so you grow up, and even for me, like, you grow up and you're thinking about playing in March, watching the, you know, the NCAA tournament. Selection show is in 6 days, right? So we are on the cusp of finding out, you know, like, everybody's got their brackets and seeing what the bracket looks like, and you're 80 minutes away from seeing your name pop up. And so, okay, there's that part. And then there's performing when you're fatigued. There's having been there, and we're a little young, right? We got some really fun parts with Richmond and Miles, and you know, somebody that's been there before. And I keep telling, you know, Miles, like, hey, your team can grow throughout the course of the game, right? Like, you're just keep encouraging these guys, because that's a lot to ask of somebody, but we can do it. And I don't know, I'm very positive, and I feel very good about our practice today and kind of where we are.
Do you think Miles has a little bit of an extra advantage having gone through this situation to help kind of lead you guys?
Yeah, he's not nervous.
Right.
So, you know, advantage or just, yeah, it's experience, right? Like, you're not afraid of the moment. You know what's ahead. You know there's going to be some tough moments, some ups and downs. Also, you understand foul trouble. You understand things that can help you get a little advantage in a game like this, an extra offensive rebound, a chance to go to the free throw line. Little nuances like that, that's stuff that, you know, having played over 100 games, that comes in.
Well, best of luck to you and the Tigers this coming weekend.
It's going to be fun to get up there, won't it?
Yeah, it's going to be a great atmosphere of basketball. Should be a basically a full house this coming weekend as well for really some great games.
Well, it's been fun. And listen, I, you know, got to give a shout-out again to the A&B. This has been so fun being here over the course of the season. And you know, we're still playing meaningful basketball here in March, so excited about it.
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, the Mitch Henderson Show coming to you from the Alchemist and Barrister in downtown Princeton throughout the course of the Princeton basketball season. Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. The Tigers getting back to it this Saturday at 3 p.m. And, of course, we will update you on the latest happenings in Tigers basketball right here on the Mitch Henderson Show on Fox Sports Radio 920. The Jersey Coach, we will see you there on Saturday.
All right, Derek. Looking forward to it.
Until next time, for Al Brooks back in the studio, I'm Derek Jones saying so long, and we will talk to you next time on the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports Radio 920, The Jersey. Have a good night, everybody.